welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman, and my co-hosts today are the usual three. Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
The usual three on Mondays and Wednesdays. And Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, you're going to be having us go in there on the Facebook, as Ed says, that there Facebook page?
Yes, this there. Since I'm in front of it, there Facebook page is
this here. You'd say this here.
Yeah. This here Facebook page is up and running. We have Scott is excited that Dad is back.
Well,
Scott said, "Yay, Tim is back."
And we all say that.
Yes.
I'm humble.
We all say that.
I want to thank the Academy.
And you love me. Love me.
Come on. Is that a line from a movie?
No. That was Sally Fields.
Sally Fields, Academy Awards.
Yeah. Oh.
You love me.
That was a classic moment in the Academy Award.
Yeah. Her whole life had apparently,
been waiting for them to.
This one moment.
Okay. Gotcha.
And you think, as a Christian, you think, well, that's pretty sad.
Well, it's good to be back.
That reminds me. I just got to say one thing. You remember Jim Brown used to work for the news department and stuff? Some people don't know this because we try to keep it quiet, but AFA had a softball team for a number of years, and we were pretty awful. And one time Jim Brown was up to bat, and the bases were loaded, and I was in the dugout, and I said, "Come on, Jim." I said, "You were born for this moment." And right there, as he's standing at the plate, he looked at me, and he said, "I hope I'm born for more than this."
Sure.
I hope my life wasn't this way. I hope this is not the peak of my existence.
Softball league game.
Yeah.
City softball league game.
Yeah.
You're born for this moment.
You're born for this moment.
All right. So what do folks need to do if they want to engage with us, Walker, on our Facebook page?
Well, you'll need to go to the Today's Issues Facebook page, and on the right at the top of the page there, you have our live streaming so you can watch the show and, of course, listen and comment on the show. And lastly, we'll, of course, be posting all the news articles there.
Okay.
So Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, lastly, you can listen anywhere as long as you have internet access on the AFR app, as long as you have a smart device or a tablet, and you can go to AFR.net on your computer and listen.
Multiple ways to access AFR.
We're diverse.
And there's no excuse
right
for not listening to AFR all the time because we provide you many ways to do so.
Or you may have excuses, but we're not accepting them.
We're not accepting them. We're not accepting them. And so if you fail to listen to American Family Radio or this program, it's because you're not applying yourself. That's all I got to say. Well, it isn't all I have to say. I got another hour and 20 minutes. But anyway, you know how people like to close with, and that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
But then they don't quit.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've listened to preachers who said that in conclusion.
In conclusion.
Daddy, what does "in conclusion" mean? Absolutely nothing, son.
All right. Fred Jackson is here with us, news director for American Family Radio and the One News Now website, which you need to check out, onenewsnow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Some sanity returns to the lot here.
Well, it was only out a day, but good to be back on the program. What's happening? Probably no news, is there, today?
News-free day.
Yeah, news-free day.
Well, I guess we can say Republicans are licking their wounds in the wake of Election Day yesterday. Now, to many people, not a big surprise in the results.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey gubernatorial race up there, a Democrat takes over from Chris Christie, but Chris Christie has not been popular for a long time as governor, Republican governor. We were just talking before we went on the air. Perhaps it started with his hugging Barack Obama. Remember
in the wake of the hurricane.
And then there was Bridgegate, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, the Democrat there won by a landslide.
Also, that terrible picture of he and his family
on the beach,
sitting on some public beach, having a day out on the beach while it was closed to the public for lack of funding. So they just—you talk about terrible you know, photo ops.
Yes.
That was certainly one of them. But anyway, now he wasn't running, though.
No, he's Chris term Christie. Limited.
He's term limited. Mm-hmm. But he was a Republican in a blue state.
Yes.
That had served as governor. And it, and of course, had presidential aspirations as well.
Yeah.
But it was his lieutenant that was running for governor against a Democrat that lost yesterday. So
that's right.
A blue state voted for a blue governor, basically.
Yes. Okay. That's right. So that was never in doubt. The Democrat Phil Murphy was leading in the polls since June or something of that nature. But the one that most people were watching last night was Virginia, because the feeling going into this amongst many analysts was that it was going to be a referendum on President Donald Trump, his popularity, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to remember once again, Virginia was a state won handily by Hillary Clinton a year ago, the election. And so, you know, as we went through this, the debate came down for the Republicans was Ed Gillespie conservative enough to attract those who supported Donald Trump last year in the election, or had he moderated himself to attract more independents? Well, it turns out he didn't please either side. At the end of the night last night, Democrat Ralph Northam won by at least 9 percentage points. And so this morning, Republicans are saying it's all Donald Trump's fault. Some Republicans are saying that. Some are saying Ed Gillespie was not conservative enough, did not get out the base, did not excite the base in the southern part of Virginia, because that was another element in this. We've talked about this yesterday, Tim, and I think maybe even the day before. Northern Virginia is very Democrat, extreme blue. And last night, they made it known that there was a huge turnout in Northern Virginia. So you knew right away that the Democrat was probably going to take it because it's heavily populated. And let's face it, you know, I'm not sure what the percentage is, but most of those people there are government employees.
Right. And have over the years, as the bureaucracy has expanded in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
have moved to suburbs like Northern Virginia and turned a state that was once red, at least purple, but maybe blue.
Yeah, we're talking about places like Falls Church, Chantilly, all of those areas out there, heavily government. You take a subway down there, you find out real soon just what it's like up there. Those are mostly government employees.
Yeah, it's not really traditional Virginia, okay? Now, they still vote, and so I'm talking about the people in the, and we have a station that reaches into that area now with American Family Radio. But you're right, Ed. A lot of them are connected to the federal government, and most federal government employees and their families are going to vote Democrat.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's been proven by surveys here over the last 4 or 5 years. They give money to Democratic candidates. Right. They vote Democrat.
So you get south of that northern D.C. suburb area in Virginia, with the exception of probably maybe Richmond and Charlottesville, that you're going to get mostly red in your voting.
Lynchburg.
You're going to get that's going to be mostly conservative, but they're outnumbered now. I guess as proven by the last couple of gubernatorial and senatorial elections and there's a lot of transplants in Northern Virginia. When I say it's not traditional Virginia, a lot of transplants from more liberal states are moved in there as well. So it's two different Virginias, basically. It's kind of like Chicago and Illinois. You get out of Chicago, the rest of Illinois is basically conservative to moderate, politically. More, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole different world from Carbondale to Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's you know, a lot of these states are controlled by their big metropolitan areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, that explains what happened, I think, in Virginia last night.
Yeah.
See, you think I just don't think this is some about kind of bellwether for the upcoming elections. You think it is, Fred?
Well, I'm just reading the remarks coming from people who are Republican, say they're Republican. There are some that are saying there's a number of different blame areas. One of them is they're fed up with the Republicans in general, so they didn't come out and vote yesterday because of what's going on in D.C. There's gridlock, despite the fact that Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate. They see nothing happening there. So they're frustrated. They're upset with the Republicans. So I'm not going to go out and vote in this thing.
In Virginia.
In Virginia. Mm-hmm. They didn't like Gillespie because he's waffled on several matters. They felt he was weak. President Trump did not campaign there. Vice President Pence did. President Trump did some robocalls last weekend in favor of Gillespie. But then President Trump...
A Donald Trump robocall. I would pay to hear that.
Yeah.
I would absolutely pay to hear that.
Hey, how you doing?
You have that?
How you doing? I don't have it, no.
Yeah, I can't imitate him.
No.
In Virginia and New Jersey, these are, the media framed it as these are Republican states that Democrats are kind of being insurgents to.
No.
And that's not the case.
No, it's not.
You look at, especially New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey is a Democratic state. You look how they voted. They both voted for Hillary Clinton. So, you know, if Republicans would have won there, it would have been a miracle.
Right.
It would have been like President Trump winning in the 2016 election. So I don't think we can look at this and say that Republicans are going to lose in a landslide in 2018. I do think the lack of action on behalf of Congress, the Republican-led Congress, is a contributing factor. But I don't. This is not a big Republican defeat that we all need to get all nervous about.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I will say this though: these are things that I want to see before I come to that conclusion. Now, everything you guys have said is right in terms of the fact that Virginia's purple to blue, all those kind of things. I understand that, but here are the things I want to see as the data becomes available. Okay, because this could be a sign of things to come for these couple of reasons. First, my understanding is the Democrats were super organized on the street. Their ground game was out in force. Lots of money poured into, I'm not talking about New Jersey so much, but Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out in droves to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an energized, which Hillary, I think, her unpopularity suppressed some Democratic turnout, I think, allowing Donald Trump to win in key states. I'm not saying that's the only reason. And as you said, I want to see a turnout for Republicans. I want to see and maybe some exit polling as to why people, voted, or then talk to people who didn't come out to vote. Because here's the problem for the Republicans. Is Ed Gillespie, as far as I understand, the way he ran his campaign, and even though there was some separation there with Trump, Trump did not go and campaign for him, like you said, Fred. I think he's the first president not to basically step out of the White House and campaign in Northern Virginia for Republicans since Richard Nixon. I understand that, but Ed Gillespie hit all the same notes as Donald Trump, but he's not Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
is a creature of the swamp, and I think that like Hillary suppressed Democratic turnout, you could see Republican turnout suppressed. So in a sense, this could be a bellwether if Republicans are so sickened by Republican inaction that the only one they can bring themselves to vote for is Donald Trump, but he's not running in 2018.
Mm-hmm. I think the voters today, maybe this is true of Democrats too, but I think the Republican voters are very sophisticated today. I'm talking about the base of the party, the people, and they know a phony when they see one, and they're not going to vote for him. And I mean, you see what happened in Alabama. President Trump endorsed
Mr. Strange,
and who may be I'm sure he's a wonderful man,
and
probably a conservative on many things, but he was tied so close to Mitch McConnell and the establishment over there that even with President Trump, who said he might have made a mistake endorsing Strange over Judge Roy Moore, you see that Judge Roy Moore won. So
despite the money
and despite President Trump's quote confusion on that situation, I think that's probably what happened in Virginia too. Mr. Gillespie, again, who's probably a wonderful man, I don't know him, but he was a chairman of the RNC. He was a lobbyist in Washington. He has been described as the establishment's establishment guy. So you can't you can't position your try to position yourself as a Trump conservative and fool people.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I agree that Republicans and Democrats are very complex in the way they think about an election, mm-hmm. and that the way that proves itself is, like you said, President Trump endorsed Senator Luther Strange, but President Trump's endorsement only works. I believe it only energizes Republicans and conservatives if the candidate passes the Trump test.
Yeah.
You know, if the candidate, his or her record really follows President Trump's agenda, mm-hmm. and it didn't there in Alabama, and Trump supporters saw through that and voted for the other person.
This is a topic for another day, but I just don't think endorsements matter for a whole lot anymore in today's world. Maybe it did in yesteryear because of, like I said, people are more sophisticated now in terms of there's so much access to so much information that people vote on what they know, not what they're told by somebody to do.
And to your point about smelling a phony, this is from an article from PJ Media. This is from J. Christian Adams. So mm-hmm. our listeners, if they listen to Sandy Rios, they're familiar with him. But here's the headline. Great headline. Gillespie ran a Jeb campaign. I'm about Jeb Bush. A Jeb campaign in a Trump world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not gonna get Trump supporters who rejected Jeb Bush if you run a campaign like Jeb Bush claiming to be another Trump. I mean, that's just not going to fly.
And that's saying that there's a 50-50 chance you could win in Virginia anyway for the reasons we mentioned 10 minutes ago. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker. Thank you for listening to AFR. Fred, what's next?
Well, let's stay with Virginia for a moment.
Are you really going to talk about this story? Do we have to? But go ahead.
The transgender.
I'm sitting here looking at your piece person. Of paper. Yeah, talk about that, Fred. brighten our day. Go ahead, Fred.
Democrat Danica Rome, a former journalist, making history. I'm just reading here, so don't get after me too much, from the Associated Press.
They're fair.
Elected and seated in a state legislature, becoming the first transgender person elected and seated in a state legislature in the United States. She defeated Republican Bob Marshall,
who defeated.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's reading from the AP. In the AP, if you're a man who calls yourself a woman, they're going to call you
a woman. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Identity.
You can't be a black who called yourself a white. They're not going to call you a white. But you can make up whatever genitalia you have that day in your mind. The press will go with that. But anyway, go ahead, Fred.
All right, thank you. Rome defeated Bob Marshall.
Rome.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, it took several operations.
High five me, Ed. That was good, Ed. High five me again, Ed. That was good. Go ahead, Fred.
If you're just tuning in.
Fred is a serious newsman, and we're going to leave him alone. Go ahead, Fred.
For how long, Tim? Okay.
Go ahead there.
Defeated Marshall, the Republican. Marshall was a social conservative. He authored the constitutional amendment in Virginia supporting mm-hmm. traditional marriage. He favored a bathroom bill that would protect people from people who say they're he's one of us.
Been there 26 years.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And he was defeated.
How does that happen? How do you go from electing one of the most conservative people you can?
Well, I've got an idea on that.
To the state legislature.
Yeah.
And then these same people in this same district, I don't know about the same people, but the same people who live in the district voted for a man who calls himself a woman. Go ahead.
Now, are you going to go any further with this story? Because I have something to add to this particular story.
Go ahead.
Because I was looking at an article from Penn Live, which I guess is in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And they start off, it's a historic night for the transgender community. They start off with the Danica Rome story. But they said Tyler Titus won his race, I'm guessing this is a woman, for the Erie School Board, becoming the first out transgender person ever elected in the state of Pennsylvania. Andrea Jenkins won 73% of the vote against three opponents to be elected to Minneapolis City Council. He is the first transgender person of color to be elected to any office in the U.S. Two other races in Minneapolis are awaiting the official numbers to come out. They're both transgendered as well. Here's what I think is happening on this issue. This is just my gut feeling. Okay, I'm going to start looking into this and maybe write something for the journal or a blog. But I think what's happening in America is the ground continues to shift. When it comes to social issues, most Americans, including many Christians, are voting with the, this is going to be an expression that may be off-putting, they're voting with their heart rather than their head. They are hearing stories and they are saying, oh, that's sad. We don't need to be mean to transgender people, which we certainly don't.
No.
But that's what they're saying. Listen, this person obviously thinks that he's a woman and who am I to judge? All that stuff is being thrown into the mix. I think going forward, we are going to have a very, very tough road to hoe on the transgender movement, which is coming swiftly on the heels of the success of the homosexual movement. And I think that's part. I think there were probably good Christian people in this particular race. Danica Rome said, I don't care. I don't care if he's a he or a she. Let he or she live their life the way they want. I don't want to cause them any suffering. I'm just going to listen to.
So I'm going to vote for him to represent me in Richmond.
Yep. Mm.
So to go to your point, what an incredible indictment on the churches those people attend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I just saw this. Did you guys see this? The Hillsong.
Yes.
Church pastor
in New York.
In New York. I just saw this yesterday.
Was late, on the View.
Was on the View on the ABC. You know. Hen House show. It's all women. That was probably ugly. We're probably going to get some blowback on that.
I didn't say that. Yeah. You did.
I'm sorry, but most of them are just.
We're going to have our PC training after this show's over. And Ed, you need to. You're going to be mandatory attendee.
But here's this pastor was asked straight out by Joy Behar, is abortion murder? Mm. And he says, well, you know, I think we just. We need to just hear people's story. I just want to preach the gospel. We need to hear people's story, and people ought to be able to live according to their own moral standards.
Yeah.
He wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah.
And that is infecting the church in a broader and broader swath, and it is doing its damage. And the transgender issue is one of those same things, I think.
Yeah, and I think traditionally in America, it's been easier to proclaim to be a Christian. But maybe deep down, maybe you're not, or maybe you're shallow in your faith. But I think with the state of our culture, the way it's shifting, like you're talking about, Ed, we're beginning to find out who are true followers of Christ, who are willing to go on a secular show and say what's unpopular,
right?
You know, and say what makes people upset.
Yeah. Franklin Graham would never do what the Hillsong pastor would never do.
Is Hillsong now, I know I'm not the best in keeping up with popular culture, even quote Christian popular culture, but I'm familiar with that name. They started
in Australia.
It's a
movement that started in Australia.
As a worship team?
Well, their worship music, some of their songs became very, very popular. Mm-hmm. And that kind of led to the church expanding to other countries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're like a little denomination, basically, in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
They're very popular.
Remember like Vineyard back in the 90s?
Yeah, that kind?
Yeah, it just kind of spreads and churches
crop
up.
So what you're saying is, so this fella, their teacher.
You remember his name? You know,
Carl Lentz.
Yeah, Carl Lentz.
So he's pro-choice on abortion.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
But he came back a few hours later and wrote, well, I do believe abortion's a sin. So
how did he answer it?
His initial answer was basically everyone choose for themselves.
Yeah.
In front of the View?
Yes. Yes.
That's what he really believes. He only changed his mind because he's a coward.
Yeah, and he got blowback from people who...
Did he ever?
You don't say that. You don't say what Walker just quoted him as saying. This is something you don't just... All right, we'll be back in with PC Ed. We'll be back in a minute. Hello, everyone. This is Tim Wildman.
president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. This is your early announcement about the 2018 tours to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, as well as Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. We call these Spiritual Heritage Tours. There'll be one in June and one in September. For all the information about these tours, go to our website, www.spiritualheritagetours.com. Very simply, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Christians in North Korea face unimaginable persecution.
The heart of the Orange Letter campaign is to give you an opportunity to encourage, to support, and to strengthen believers that you will never meet this side of eternity.
It's simple but powerful. Write a short letter to a North Korean believer filled with encouragement. It might include your favorite Bible verse, a special prayer, and a personal note. To write your letter, visit EngageMagazine.net. That's EngageMagazine.net.
So what we're doing is we're partnering with broadcasters in South Korea who will send the radio message across the border into North Korea. The beauty of using broadcasters in South Korea is that people in their homes in North Korea are going to be able to be strengthened and encouraged with the gospel. And it's going to be your voice, your words, read and translated and speaking directly to their hearts.
Write your letter of encouragement by visiting EngageMagazine.net. That's EngageMagazine.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
From director Kevin Sorbo and executive producer Sean Hannity comes Let There Be Light. Saul Harkins is a man who has turned away from God, but a near-fatal car crash gives him one last chance to renew his life, his family, and his faith. Let There Be Light, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at LetThereBeLightMovie.com.
Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. It was a rough night for Republicans in New Jersey and Virginia, but it was not a rough night for President Trump. Contrary to the mainstream media narrative, the gubernatorial elections were not a referendum on the president. As a matter of fact, both Republican candidates went out of their way to avoid the president. And in doing so, they disengaged the so-called basket of deplorables voters. Establishment Republicans argue their losses in Virginia were a result of the president's divisiveness and rhetoric. So don't be surprised if you see a movement to try and tone down the president. Try being the operative word. The elections in New Jersey and Virginia should be a wake-up call for the Republican Party. Conservative voters have wised up, and they know the difference between a Republican in name only and a Republican who wants to make America great again. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed and Walker and Fred. And we want to bring into the conversation, as we do every Wednesday, that he's available. Our colleague, Abraham Hamilton III. Abe, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you all doing?
Good. What's happening this afternoon at 5:05 Central Time on the Hamilton Corner?
Well, we're gonna talk about some of the election results across the country. But one of the things in particular that I'm going to discuss that it appears to be a flurry of local and state elected officials who just so happen to be transgendered. I want to talk about what that means for the country. They all happen to run on the Democrat Party ticket. What does that say about the Democrat Party? And lastly, have we gotten to the place in our country where we are comfortable thumbing our noses in the face of God?
I wonder if the Democrats would consider in red states identifying as Republicans. Anybody following me here?
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
I think if you can be a man and you can identify, but you can self-identify as a woman, they accept that, right?
Yes.
Then you could be a Democrat in a red state and just self-identify as a Republican, and you could win, perhaps.
In a red state.
In a red state. Now, y'all think about that a while. We don't have to flesh that out here. But I just want you to think about that, and we can come back tomorrow maybe and discuss this even further. Hey, we were talking before the break about this gentleman. His name is Carl Lentz, and he's the pastor of the Hillsong. Is it?
Church in New York City.
Hillsong United.
Okay, he's the pastor of the Hillsong Church in
New York City.
Okay. And part of the Hillsong movement, which is, as Ed described, is from Australia originally.
I thought Australia, yeah.
Okay, so, but they're the young, but they're basically appealing to the young crowd in America, the millennials. Is that, am I got that right, mm-hmm. basically?
I would think so.
Okay, so anyway, this pastor, by the way, and I who am I to judge, but the glasses got to go that he wears. They're like 6 inches each lens.
Those are right out of the 80s.
I know I'm judging a man's glasses.
Did you say his name is
Aviator.
Carl Lentz?
L-E-N-T-Z. You can look him up on here. But anyway, I guess the glasses to each his own, but not theology to each his own. Mm. And so he goes on The View, which is a show with
very nice ladies.
Three liberal women. Three, what'd you say?
With very nice ladies, and I respect all women.
I'm not going to comment on that. I don't want to be forced to lie. But so you got three, and you just did. You were, well, or you were extremely sarcastic, which is not.
I didn't want to go into.
So now he's got to go to PC school.
I don't want to go to PC training. I'm trying to get out of it.
And Ed Ten being, Commandments reminders.
Ed being extremely sarcastic. Highly unusual. But anyway, so you have
yeah,
this,
right.
So let me make my point. Okay. Would y'all let me make my point? This fella here, this gentleman, Hillsong pastor, Carl Lentz, goes on The View, and he's promoting a book, I guess. Now, they for you Hillsong fans out there, I guess I'm going to offend you here, but I'm just going to say this because they call themselves, they identify as a Christian a Christian movement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how they identify themselves. Yeah. I haven't read their statement of faith, but that's how they identify.
And I'll just say, I like their music. Worship music.
Okay. So anyway, but this guy, this pastor here, Carl Lentz, goes on The View and he's promoting a book. Abe, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Promoting a book, which I don't know what the book's about, but he's asked a basic question about abortion walkers.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, this is from the original source of the news story from thefederalist.com. Here's where it begins. When host Joy Behar asked directly about whether abortion is sinful, he, Pastor Lentz, responded, quote, "That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from, what you believe. I mean, God's the judge," end quote, at which point the audience broke into a raucous applause, which is not a good indicator if you're the View audience.
Right.
And here the quote picks up. He says, quote, "People have to live their own convictions," end quote. And then he begins again after another applause, quote, "That's such a broad question to me. I'm going higher. I want to sit down with somebody and ask, what do you believe?
You're dodging, you're weaving. You're trying not to have them boo you.
Yes.
Because if you said straight up, abortion is the taking of innocent human life and it's against the word of God, what's your next question? That should have been the man's answer.
Right.
By the waffling and doing the stuff he did, he's wanting to do what Joel Osteen does.
Yeah.
And that is avoid any kind of direct confrontational moral issue of the day on the LGBT. That's what Joel does, dodge and weave. I mean, am I wrong?
Oh, no, you're right. When it comes to homosexuality.
I have nothing against Joel Osteen personally. I'm sure he's a good man with a good family.
But this is about more than just
that. This is what he did. You can't do that. Try to be popular with the world and honor the word of God. It doesn't work.
So they buy your book.
So they buy your book. Yes. And also, you confuse people, too, as well. Mm-hmm. So this is...
Joy Behar was confused. To his answer.
Right, because
it's clear she was going.
Go ahead,
when she doubled down, she said, so you're telling us, so abortion is not a sin in your church? In your church, as if, you know, sin is a sliding scale. It just depends on where you go to church to determine whether or not something is a sin.
And she said that?
She said that.
And how did he respond to that?
That's when he responded with the rest of what Walker quoted and saying that, well, you know, I don't want to come in telling right off the bat what I think is a sin or what I don't think is a sin.
What about the authority of God's word?
And that's the question. I mean, he's trying to sell a book. I can tell you what's not in the book.
Yeah.
Theological orthodoxy is what's not in the book.
But a lot of young people follow this guy?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
A lot of young people, a lot of young celebrities. He has a mega church.
Well, they're drawn in by the music.
Yeah. Justin Bieber goes to that church.
Yeah,
and if you look at the pictures of Carl Lentz on, to Google search, he takes all kinds of selfies with him and Justin Bieber.
Right. Because
they're big buddies. They hang out together. Now, let me just say, someone like Justin Bieber needs a pastor, needs someone to hang out. But in my opinion, having been in the pastorate for many, many years, over 30 years, you don't exploit that for your own. If you are ministering to Justin Bieber, who's doesn't need to be in the public eye anymore, you don't post selfies on your Facebook page because that becomes now about you knowing Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. Why don't you be behind the scenes what this young man needs, and that's somebody who's not going to post his face on Facebook anymore.
And Christians we really have to be grounded in God's word, and we have to build up the faith that when we're asked tough questions that are gonna bring backlash, we have to be prepared to answer them biblically rather than dodge and weave because we don't want the heat.
Well, we need more Baron L. Stutzmans.
Right.
We need more Christian bakers, florists, who are taking a stand and finding themselves in court and losing their business.
Yeah.
Because they are standing by the Orthodox teaching.
And it is unfortunate when you see more faithfulness to the Lord's word coming from the pew than you do from the pulpit in some instances. Right. Mm-hmm. It's pretty embarrassing. And he's come out on Twitter talking about Carl Lentz, trying to explain, because he's gotten a lot of heat for this, saying that, oh no, I believe abortion is a sin. And the thing that continues to bother me with these things is that you go on these huge platforms where millions of people watch and you abuse the word of God, then you retreat to much smaller platforms to say, oh no, that's not what I meant.
Well, right. It's like I mentioned Joel Osteen. I watched the interview he did with, I guess it was Larry King.
He did the same thing.
Larry King and Pastor Osteen just asked a simple question about Jesus being the only way to heaven. Do you believe that? And I'm paraphrasing now because it's been a year or two since I've seen this video. It's been 2 or 3 years probably. And Joel Osteen just struggles. He's just tormented by that question. And the answer he gives, just he had to come back later and clean it up with a post on his website.
On his website. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Larry King's had a huge audience on television. Yeah. Millions of people saw you struggle with the gospel.
Right.
Then you go back to your website.
That makes you think. I'm sorry. It makes you think, well, Brother Osteen just cares about selling a book to as many people as he can without being truthful to the gospel. Now, maybe he had a temporary moment of lack of courage. I don't know, but you know what? This same fella does the same thing. Yeah, if you're going to go on these liberal shows, and I don't have a problem. John MacArthur used to do this on Larry King. He would go on and take all comers, and John MacArthur would not compromise the gospel message of Christ with Larry King and four others going after him.
Well, here are two of the main temptations for people who are going to be in the public eye or have that opportunity. One is the fear of man, the fear of what man's going to say. And the other, the flip side of almost the same coin, is the love of praise. Jesus talked about both of these, because I get frustrated with Christian artists, because this is the whole thing about celebrity. Celebrity is you love the praise of human beings and you don't want to risk that. I struggle with singers, vocalists, recording artists, who have these huge concerts, very popular with young people, and they never preach the gospel to these young people. And they always say, well, listen, I just want them to hear my music, and I try to let my light shine. No, You have that kind of an opportunity. How can you not tell those young people about Jesus? Mm. And if you lose some following, so what?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you have at least done the most important thing, kept the main thing, and that is to get some of these young people into heaven.
Yeah.
But it's the fear of man and the love of praise. If you're in the public eye, right, those are temptations you always have to watch out for.
But I just would have thought that Carl Lentz, the pastor for the Hillsong Church in New York, it baffles me that he wasn't expecting that question from this crowd, or maybe he was, but anyway, so he answers it the way he did, and then he had to come back like Joel Osteen did and say, what did he say, came back and said what?
He said he believes abortion is a sin, but he was more concerned with presenting grace on his view.
Here we go again. Going to get me wound up.
Listen, this is the way I think you should. Joy Behar says, is abortion a sin? You say, all right, you ask me a simple question, I'm going to give you a simple answer. Yes. Now, if you, Joy Behar, want to talk to me about the struggles, the fear that a pregnant girl...
Grace and forgiveness?
Yeah, grace and forgiveness. You want to ask me how Christians should respond?
Right.
Okay, well, that's a broader question. Absolutely. I will stand behind you. My church will stand behind you. We'll do whatever we can to help you have this baby. Your parents kick you out. We'll take you in. But that's not what you asked at first. The first question you asked,
gotcha,
is it a
question.
Sin?
And if you don't answer it straight up right from the Bible,
it's just sad. My friend Mickey always says this way, is if you don't have the courage to stand on God's word, then hide behind it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
You don't have to say it as if it is your idea, because it's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Kinda like
that's a great,
it's kind of like, you know, you're asking me, let me apologize first for for being a Christian who believes the Bible. And I'm going to say, you know, and also these... A lot of people in the Christian community today, they want to talk about grace, right? And grace is in the Bible, but they don't want to talk about grace for what?
Right.
What have you done that you need grace for?
Right.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of messages where the pastor talks on grace over my lifetime, and you're going, well, you've not talking about what you need grace for.
Right.
Why? Because we're sinners who do bad things.
Where sin abounds, there does grace much more abound.
Yeah. But it almost, when you hear it, when you see pastors do this or hear Bible teachers do this, you go, you know, brother, that's just cheap grace. So you're cheapening grace because you're not talking about the sin that we need grace for to forgive.
And that's why Christ died on the cross.
Right. But, you know, anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio, American Family Radio, AFR.net. Well, we got a guest now on the program, Jared Brock. He's the author of The Bearded Gospel Men. And he joins us now. He'll tell you why he came up with that title. Jared, good morning to you.
Morning, Tim and Walker. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do, and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm from the Great White North up in Canada, and this is my second book. And basically, I just try to love God and love people. My wife and I live in a trailer in a forest, don't own cell phones, and we just try to tell stories that matter and give away the money. And you guys are having a very interesting conversation this morning, and this book dovetails nicely.
So you're a married monk.
Basically. Yeah, that's right. And I've got the beard to prove it.
And I saw a picture. You got a great, it is a great beard. And we do have, you do have Tim and Walker here. My name's Ed. We also have Abe, but we also have Fred Jackson, who's from Canada.
So. I'm a Canuck.
Right.
Whereabouts in Canada are you living?
We live near a town called Guelph. It's about an hour from Toronto, an hour from Niagara Falls, an hour from America. So,
I thought you were going to say Tuktoyaktuk or something like that.
That's so inside Canadian jokes,
right,
really,
right,
Fred?
Right.
Hey, listen, the AFR.net, we're everywhere.
Well, Jared, tell us about your book. One of the most interesting titles I've ever heard, The Bearded Gospel Men. What are you talking about here?
Well, basically what happened is when I wrote my previous book, I did a 37,000-mile pilgrimage around the world to learn about prayer, and I started researching and learning about all these epic dudes of the Christian faith. And so I would look them up online, and pretty much all their photos or their kind of depictions of them, they all had beards. And I have a good friend who was running a website called Bearded Gospelman, and so we got together and said, hey, let's do a 31-day devotional that men might actually read. And so it's a humorous devotional where we profile 31 Christian guys throughout history who were not ashamed of the gospel, who stood up and, you know, proclaimed it at the top of their lungs and made a huge difference in the world. You know, guys like Daniel Nash or D.L. Moody, Frederick Douglass, John the Baptist, so many of these guys who also happen to have beards and just rockets for Jesus.
Okay, well, Jared, we normally have different. Sometimes we have a story like dealing with Russia or something like that, and we say that a story is from the Russia files, and we play a little short clip of music. And tell me if this makes you think of the kind of men you're talking about.
Turn it up.
So now that's the Russian national anthem. We're not colluding with the Russians, but we'll play that, and it gives me chills because I think that is some masculine men. You're talking about men who aren't ashamed of the gospel and
don't wear skinny jeans. I said it. You can email me if you want to.
Amen.
Go ahead and email me if you want to.
We're not afraid.
So what's interesting though, gents, is that most of the dictators throughout history have not had beards. Guys like Mao Zedong, Hitler, Stalin. They're all these little mustachioed fellows, but yeah, even the devil himself only has a pointy goatee, so that doesn't count.
So did you just call them little mustachioed fellows?
Well, all of them, if you look up their heights, many of them were actually quite shorter than the average. They
quite diminutive.
You're listening to American Demeaning Radio, where we're ready and able to put down anybody.
I've already gone on record insulting some of the women on The View.
Yeah.
And now here we are talking about men with beards. Right. So,
amen. Men's
well,
men.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. A stranger plus a beard equals a brother, and even more so when Jesus is up in the mix. So.
Yeah. Hey, Bearded Gospel Men is the title of the book. Now, you, The Epic Quest for Manliness and Godliness. So this is a devotion book? I mean, daily?
Yeah, it's a 31-day devotional. Okay. There's questions so that guys can really use this as a tool with their small groups
to really help develop their band of brothers. Where can people get the book?
It's on Amazon in 14 countries, and it's in bookstores, and beardedgospelmen.com is where you can see the trailer.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos needs more money. That's right. we need to help the poor fellow make his house
known. And the beard. Well, I'm glad this is No Shave November. I do have, you know, the mustache and the chin beard year-round, but I am growing the beard on the sides, so I feel like I'm going to represent, you know, no skinny jeans here.
Tell us a couple of your favorite people that you feature in the book. You mentioned D.L. Moody, and who else?
Yeah, there's all sorts of great guys. Thomas Bernardo started a home for girls right in the middle of the most dangerous part of London while Jack the Ripper was killing prostituted women. And that charity that he started 150 years ago is still the biggest children's charity in the United Kingdom to this day. Amazing bearded gospel man.
Who else?
All sorts of guys.
Give me one more.
Another great one that I really love is a guy named Charles Monroe Sheldon. He invented the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" But when his book came out, the publisher accidentally screwed up the copyright, and it went into the public domain. And over 30 different publishers stole his book on "What Would Jesus Do?" and published it around the world. It became a massive sensation. He never complained about it. He continued to just be a pastor, do his thing, fight for rights for poor people and for African Americans. And that's how "What Would Jesus Do?" got famous, because a bunch of Christian publishers ripped him off.
Wow, that's when you first said that, I was going, "Wow, what a great story of how God can use something." But the fact that you just added that at the end, a bunch of Christian publishers stole it. Well, that just depresses me now. Thanks a lot.
Wow.
But he was a faithful man that it wasn't about money, fame, or power. It was about the kingdom of God. So all these guys, that's kind of the theme that runs throughout each of their lives, is their character is centered on Christ.
And they have beards.
Oh, I'm going to get a copy of this.
Yeah.
This sounds great.
It's clever. I looked at it before we asked our guest to be on. Jared Brock is our guest from Canada.
Somewhere in Canada.
Yeah, I just, before we sign up.
Are you from Nova Scotia, right?
Hey, Fred, I'm from
what do
Nova
you call those people down near Toronto? What do y'all refer to them as?
Well, Toronto's Hogtown.
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 Because?
It's got a history there, right, Jared?
Yeah. Yeah, I normally just say, I'm from Ontario, that's the Middle East of Canada.
Middle East.
I was thinking more Canadian bacon-ish here when Fred's talking. Is that the reason why Hogtown?
No.
Canadian bacon.
No.
Well, I mean, you get Canadian bacon from hogs, right?
From Canada, too.
Does that not make sense?
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
So you're living in a trailer in the woods with your wife?
I know. I'm still thinking about that myself.
Yeah, we just decided a number of years ago that we could either live the American dream or we could try to follow God's calling for a life. Mm-hmm. And we realized that having a big mortgage and debt and car payments, just we weren't going to be able to do what we thought God were calling us to do. So we just really simplified our lives, and it's one of the best decisions we've ever made, for sure.
So how are you doing this interview?
I'm actually on Skype from my computer. We don't own cell phones. We don't have Netflix. We just
so you're off the grid except for the computer connection.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, listen, is it cold there yet? Just one more question.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. It's chilly.
All right. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, listen, can I sign off?
You man. Yes, sir.
Hey, Jared, have a good day, eh?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Jared.
Jared Brock, author of The Bearded Gospel Men, which is a 30-day?
31-day, I think.
31-day devotional, primarily for men, but, I mean, those stories that he includes in all these, about all these great heroes of the faith, some of which whom you've never heard. I never heard that story.
I didn't either.
Mm-hmm.
Just talked about.
Fascinating.
All right, Abe, other than the information you mentioned earlier.
Other than talking about transgendered people,
getting elected to state legislatures, by the way.
State legislatures, city councils, and school boards.
School boards.
So
in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Where board. In Pennsylvania? In the middle of Pennsylvania? Surely not.
Erie School Board.
Yeah. Erie's up there on the,
Erie. So that happened in Erie.
Erie, isn't it?
In Erie, Pennsylvania. Hey, did you think... do you think that they're making strides, the LGBTQ community, the T, transgender, they used to be even rejected by the gay and lesbians.
Yeah.
As sort of freakish, I guess you could say. But now they've been mainstreamed into that movement. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And that entire deviancy pantheon has co-opted the civil rights legacy in our country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're using that to... as a cultural spear to pry their way into every aspect of our society.
With the help of a lot of black leaders.
That's right.
Yeah. All this is joined together in the Democratic Party. So maybe they thought that they had to stand up. And to your point, Tim, the reason the rest of that homosexual movement distanced itself from the transgenders for so long is they were afraid that would be a bridge too far for most Americans and it would hurt the LGB movement, but now it's now that they see no harm, no foul, they are embracing it.
And you were speaking about Canada. They've added more letters to the acronym. I saw something with 2SP, two spirited, and I can't keep
you
up.
You mean on to the LGBTQ?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just take the alphabet.
Yeah, just
trying
all
to take
26.
The whole alphabet now.
Yeah.
Hey, Abe, this afternoon, you'll be on at 5:05 Central Time.
Yes,
on American Family Radio with the Hamilton Corner.
The Dynamite Show, folks.
A biblical worldview, worldview communicated, and they look at today's current events, right?
That's right. No Carl Lentz speech.
No Carl Lentz.
Good for you. All right. We'll see you back here in 5 minutes, folks.